Praying is not just conversation with God. It is that, of course. But prayer is a weapon that we can use to defend ourselves against the devil. We don't talk much about the devil. It's an uncomfortable topic. But the devil's presence in the world is undeniable. When you're looking at your newsfeed, it probably the first headline that you'll read reflects the devil's work in the world. So spiritual warfare, unfortunately, is a reality that we don't question. We just accept it and hopefully prepare for it by praying to God. You pray because there are times when your individual strength and ability just are inadequate to affect the outcome or the progress of a difficult situation. Some people doubt the effectiveness of prayer because they say it's too spiritual, or maybe they say it just doesn't work. I've tried it and it doesn't work, as if it's like a genie in the bottle. Our culture in the United States is either more and more indifferent to prayer or doubt that it works, or at worst, forbid it. You know that in schools now, every country has different policies on school prayer. And in the UK, for example, prayer is required it's a basic part of the curriculum in public school. In the United States, on the other hand, prayer was probably the most fundamental component of the growth of our nation since the pilgrims came in the 17th century. But there's a movement now in government to bring prayer back. And that's good news. Part of the reason prayer was banned from schools was a kind of misunderstanding about the separation of church and state. There's nothing about prayer that contradicts anything that might be taught or the principles of our Constitution. So today we want to continue our study of the book of Daniel, chapter 10, to see how he relied on prayer at a time of great personal conflict and need. Today we'll see how Daniel responded to a vision of a spiritual man sent by God. So I just want to make a comment that if Daniel seems confusing sometimes, it's because it is. But as a British co-worker of mine, when I worked in Taiwan, said very frequently, when we faced a problem that had no easy solution, he'd say, "Use your gray matter, man. Use your gray matter." Maybe you haven't been around British people much. But it just means to put your thinking cap on and get busy resolving your problem. So today, please open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10. And I will read, first of all, from the NIV translation. Daniel chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. and we'll pretty much read the whole chapter. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the banks of the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled. And hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Verse 11, he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you. Now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very, very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Verse 19, do not be afraid. You who are highly esteemed, he said, peace. Be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I've come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. Parts of the chapter are hard to understand. I acknowledge that. But there are at least four points to that we can take out of this chapter. And if you can put those up, Howie, that the first one is to learn to wait on God and trust Him. Secondly, trust that God hears your prayers. Trust that God hears your prayers. Thirdly, humbly wait for God's response and guidance. And lastly, be aware of the reality of spiritual warfare. So we're going to unpack these a little bit today as I speak. But the first one is to learn to wait on God and trust Him. Daniel was now an old man. Verse 2 says that he mourned for 3 weeks while he fasted and denied himself worldly comforts. Verses 2 and 3 read, "At that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over." Daniel was mourning over the sins of his people, the Israelites. For the next few verses, you've got to use your gray matter a bit and put on your seatbelts. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing at the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face was like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And the voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So after Daniel fasted, he was left all alone. Verse 7 says that all the guys who were with him took off. They were terrified and they ran away. And they couldn't see him, but since his voice was like the sound of a multitude, this might have been enough to scare off the rest of his friends. So have you ever gone to God in prayer and you're hoping for a quick response, but give up after getting no response for many days or weeks or months or even years? Has that happened to you before? Daniel waited 3 weeks and he prayed and fasted. And it seemed like a very long time when you're fasting. So I can personally attest to praying for months that a loved one will turn to Christ. But after months of waiting, I've almost given up, but almost, just almost. Giving up is not what God would have me do. I know that. So I'm leaning on God to wait on Him and trust Him. I've heard stories of a Christian, I've heard this story a number of times, a Christian who has prayed for his loved one for years and years, and his loved one never turned to Christ until finally the man died without seeing his loved one turn to Christ. which seems like a sad story, except for the fact that the happy ending is that the loved one gives his life to Christ after his father dies. Even if a prayer is not answered in yours or my lifetime, we have to trust God to answer our prayer in his time. In the same way, I truly believe that my grandmother, who was a Christian, who died before she could see me accept Christ, I believe that she prayed for me throughout her life and never saw that those prayers answered before she died. But I'm standing here, and I'd like to believe that my grandma is looking down and pleased. So the second point is, trust that God hears your prayers. Trust that God hears your prayers. As you're waiting for God's response to your prayer, trust that from the first word you spoke to him, he heard you. In Daniel's case, in verses 8 and 9, he was rendered basically helpless, but he stood up. And in verse 12, he humbled himself and was heard by God. The angelic being, the vision, came in response to Daniel's prayer. Verse 12 tells us, "Then he continued, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them.'" So this heavenly being assures Daniel that God heard his prayers in verse 12. This was why the angel appeared to Daniel. So has anyone ever given you this level, this degree of assurance? This much courage and confidence. Have your parents ever reassured you when you had a tough challenge ahead of you and your parents could just say, "You can do it. You can do it." I think a lot of people who overcame obstacles had parents like this. The list is long. Helen Keller, for example, was blind and deaf almost from birth, but became the first deaf and blind person to earn a BA degree in university. Barack Obama, as another great example, was the first black president in America. That was an obstacle that he had to fight to conquer for his whole life. So the third rule that Daniel's interaction with this angel points out is this: humbly wait for God. Humbly wait for God and his guidance. I emphasize the word humbly because without humility, we're all subject to pride. And pride is what makes us believe that whatever success we achieve is due to our talents, our abilities. So I ask everyone to give God the glory. Give God the glory. One thing I really like about our technological age is that when famous athletes or musicians, whatever it might be, who are interviewed after achieving something remarkable, so many now will give God the glory. And that praise is heard by millions of viewers. So the big question from this chapter remains, who is this angelic being? Who is this vision? And where did he come from and why? In verse 10, Daniel is trembling but standing. And he asked the angelic being to speak, hoping to understand and humble himself before God. The last verses of this chapter will explain why this vision came to Daniel. He was almost paralyzed with fear. But verse 14 explains that this vision came to Daniel to tell Daniel what will happen in the future to his people in Israel. Verse 14 says, "Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe.' Again, the one who looked like a man before, he looked like a man, touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace, be strong now, be strong.' When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'" I'm going to stop here because there's one more point I want to make before we leave today. And this is an important point to remember. Be aware that spiritual warfare exists. Spiritual warfare does exist. Verse 1 mentioned a great war revealed to Daniel. We'll learn about that next week when we move on to chapter 11. But there's an even larger war, a spiritual war. Spiritual warfare is mentioned so often in the Bible, it's not something we can overlook or ignore or pass by. The Apostle Paul reminds the disciples in Ephesus to protect themselves against the spiritual forces of evil. Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So Paul tells the Ephesians that there are spiritual forces at work, which all of them and all of us have to defend against. And our main defense is what? Prayer. Praying to God. So when we pray, there are a few important things to remember. I want to enumerate some of these. First point is that we are not called to go out and attack Satan, but to be alert and keep praying for believers. In other words, we need to be on the defense and not the offense against Satan. Second point, prayer is the way we call on God to help us persevere and stand strong in Christ. Prayer is the way we call on God to help us persevere and stand strong in Christ. Third point is to remain humble. Even knowing Christ, the Savior, is supporting us. That might be cause to forget your humility and let pride take over. But the fact that Christ, the Savior, is supporting us should bring about your humility. The fourth point is that as Peter, the apostle, said, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Very familiar verse that you probably all know. The fifth point is that don't trust yourself, but trust God. Remember, the great apostle, the rock as they called him, denied Jesus 3 times. And finally, remember what C.S. Lewis said. We live in enemy-occupied territory. That is what this world is. And the enemy is Satan, but we have God to defend us. So in closing, today we watched this remarkable spiritual vision. And it reminds us that spiritual battles exist that we don't see, but they influence our lives. And believers have to commit to prayer and fasting as tools of spiritual warfare. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our confidence is in you. You are the source of our strength. You're the source of all good things in our lives. And you provide the weapons that we need against the devil. Help us to remain humble, knowing that Christ is there supporting us. Thank you, Lord.